Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 138. I'm joined in the studio by George and Ollie, and my name is Morgan. Today we have, this is like action packed. We're going race recap into race preview. Lots to talk about. Lots of exciting stuff. Ollie and I had a nice trip to LA, and then the boys are going to the hallowed grounds of Hayward Field this coming week for what is probably going to be the biggest, best, boldest, baddest mile field apart from the Olympic final this year. I don't know. It could be. It could be harder. It could be better than the Olympic final technically. In terms
technically,
of
if people miss out.
PBs, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or people come through.
Yeah.
Or just bigger, more entries maybe.
Yeah. How big is the field, you know?
More than 12, I think. I think it's more like 15, isn't it?
I thought it was 15, but I haven't looked at the number.
Is 15 like the normal number for a Diamond League 1500?
I think that's like maxing it out. It's 15.
That's max.
I think so. It can be less. Before paces, yeah.
I've only ever done one and there was over 20. Remember?
I forgot about that.
This guy broke his collarbone in the first 100 meters because there were so many people in it.
Where was that?
In fucking Birmingham.
That's right, yeah.
Remember that British kid?
Oh, wait, yeah. I was in that race as well.
Who broke their collarbone?
Pierce? Copeland. That Pierce Copeland guy. Well, is he Welsh or something? He's British somewhere.
Yeah, UK.
UK.
In the first 100 meters, fell, broke his collarbone. They didn't, they nothing. You know, I should keep running. It was a shit show.
20 people in a mile. That sounds terrible. That sounds terrible. But yeah, we're going to get into all that. First off, though, we do have a lovely bean shout out. This one has been a long time coming. It comes from Dr. C, Dr. Cabales, who he's helped me out personally a lot in my running career and more recently, Ollie, quite a bit. He's our go-to sports doc for when we have major injuries, I guess. Or sometimes minor, I guess, but... If it's
serious enough, we got a doctor see.
Yeah, that means your injury has got to a certain, above a certain threshold if you're seeing him. And he always treats us very, very well. So thank you so much. The beans are from Bridge City, based out of Greenville, South Carolina. And apparently this roast won Micro Roastery of the Year.
Wow.
The Meat in the Middle.
Wait,
roast.
Green City where? Greenville.
Greenville, South Carolina.
I feel like I've heard of Greenville. What?
Sounds familiar. I don't know.
Something from Greenville? Is there a school there? I don't know.
Are you thinking of Greensboro?
Maybe. What's that?
There's like a UNC Greensboro. Like
oh, yeah.
North Carolina. That
is that
Porch
also
Limo,
North Carolina?
I think Porch Limo went
there. No way. I think that is what I'm thinking of.
Little reference, little throwback, deep cut for those at home.
How do you know that even? That's funny.
Track nerd.
Yeah. Big track nerd over here.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He'll know that, but he won't know when to turn around a marathon.
Yeah. Well, I still get shit about that every time I see someone that's from the East Coast or like Boston area in particular. They love to bring it
the
up.
The Wellesley turnaround point.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you have knowledge of track from like crazy random facts and then there's like clear like basis facts that we would just forget.
Well, the best thing about that was just fucking up the apology. Because I did we get the name wrong? Yeah, we got the name wrong
like 100 times. And then we said it was the turning point.
And then I was like, turning point.
I think that was in the apology.
Halfway
was a turning point.
Halfway Boston, point. Straight line. Okay, I get it. Whatever. Moving on.
Thanks,
moving
Dr. C. I think I've seen him the least out of the three of us.
Have you ever seen him? I think.
I have seen him once for an ultrasound when I strained my hip flexor that time before pain.
Oh, yep. That checks out.
That's it, though.
Yeah, Ollie and I have had a few sessions with him.
Yeah.
Did you get PRP from him?
I did. I got three shots in the groin.
Three in the groin?
Three in the groin.
How'd they split them up?
One was like just above the general area, and then another one was like just below it. But
just
like
below your gentleman's area.
Well, just like it was
like to the sides.
There was like two. There was like two that just went bang like right in the middle.
Above.
And then there was one that I don't remember where it went, but I think it was like,
it took like
under
Gucci.
Like a Gucci area. But it was pretty fucking
traumatic.
It was traumatic for my mom because she was there.
And in the room. Like,
yeah, she was in the room.
That'd be painful
and,
to watch.
The area's covered only like the
Cabalas
can see.
Do you have
it.
To strip off? And then he covers it?
I had to shave and then he had like a towel over like, and I was just wearing like underwear. And then he's like, okay, like this is where we're going to do it. And then all of a sudden he just has this big thing with a massive big needle, and I was like, oh fuck, here we go.
That would have been a great excuse to get a Brazilian.
A Brazilian?
I could see.
I don't want to get a Brazilian.
Yeah.
Really? I could see you being.
No, I don't want a Brazilian. Clean shaven. That's painful. I used to wax my legs for swimming, and it was miserable. My mom has this waxer, and she'd go, and then she sent me there one day, and I had to get waxed for my legs for swimming, and it took like 2 hours.
It was intense.
It was very intense.
You ever had a Brazilian one?
Not yet.
That's my attitude.
What about laser?
That's extreme.
That's extreme, right?
You only get laser on a part of your body that you know you never want hair.
Yeah.
So that like, sounds
like 10, it's like 10 treatments, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. But on the male body, where are you getting that done? Like, I understand people that want
controversial, armpits.
You think
I would do armpits?
Men should
have
armpit hair.
Yeah, I'd get rid of my armpit. Mm. The rest of my body, I'm fine with it where it is. But armpit hair is annoying.
When does it annoy you?
When I do deodorant. And then I get like the hairs on the deodorant. I was like, this is fucking disgusting. Right,
that's fair. That's
and then I'm like, if I had no armpit hair, I could just go whoop, whoop. It would look
slide.
Aesthetically better. Like if I had no armpit hair.
That's subjective. A bit of
chest hair. I think it looks good aesthetically.
Have you ever shaved your armpits?
No.
So we got to see this first.
Maybe I...
We got to test it out.
Maybe I did for swimming. But
swimming, you just do everything.
You just get rid of all the hair.
That's, eyebrows?
I lost one eyebrow, but that was from just stress.
Oh,
I was
okay.
picking it during the HSC exams. And I lost a whole eyebrow from picking it doing the
exams.
It's
a lot of picking.
Yeah. It was like my
especially for all his eyebrows.
Tips. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bushy.
They would have slowed you down a lot, swimming.
The eyebrows? Yeah.
We got to get aero.
Aerodynamic.
Well,
is there one on model that does his eyebrows?
That bleaches them.
No, I think waxes them. Guy on the On website.
I know who you're talking about. Now I'm trying to picture
he
it.
He models a ton of
he's
stuff.
He's bald, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think he bleaches.
Maybe he swims.
I don't know. Who knows? Not me. But yeah, we'll do some body hair work, and we'll see what the results. And if it looks good, we'll get you some laser.
Do you remember when we were supposed to measure our biceps every episode and we just forgot after two?
We forgot after one.
It was after one.
We only did that once.
Oh, we did it once. But there you go.
I think we can make it up by doing like a 3 month. Well, we're probably past 3 months, so maybe like a 6 month check-in.
6 month check-in,
which we might be.
We'll just delay it.
Approaching 6 months as well.
We'll delay it.
Maybe a little post like off-season one. We see who can grow the biggest biceps in the off-season.
See who can increase it the most. Who can get the most positive.
I'll be down for that.
Yeah, I'll just start bulking.
Yeah,
we should have got Ollie's post swim career in the when you came back as a swimmer.
Well, my back was pretty big. My biceps.
I don't think it was your biceps.
My back was bigger.
Do you use biceps swimming?
Well, lats mostly.
Yeah.
This area.
Big biceps.
Tricep.
Big
all right. Biceps. Well, we just went really off topic, so let's.
Thank you, Dr. Cabalas.
Thank you, Dr. Cabalas.
Thank you very much. And the other announcement that we have today, which is very, very exciting, is. This is coming at us really quickly, so I'm a little bit overwhelmed and I don't want to mis-explain it, but I think next week we're going to have our Gus plushies on sale, which I'm not even sure if we've ever said that we were going to actually sell them, but next week I think we're going to have a very, very limited drop of Gus plushies, Gus 2.0, and I'm very excited for it. Mm. We've had the plushies around for quite a while, so we've been... you know, kind of thinking about dropping them at certain points for quite a bit, but we think it's going to go down next week and it'll be very limited. So it'll be a situation of midnight. I mean, probably not a midnight release, but you know, the situation where there's a midnight release and then you're up on your computer, refreshing the page every minute.
Yeah.
It'll be one of those type scenarios, I believe.
It'll be people, you're going to have to camp out.
I'm not going to like the response if people don't get their gush posse. And
there's probably going to be bots. People are going to set up bots. That's what they do for like Yeezys. They set up bots and then resell them. There'll probably be a really hot resale market for these
ones.
You know, at one point, this is must be 3 years ago. We'll have to ask Sam Parsoni or something. But I'm pretty sure at one point there was a decently hot resale market for the Tin Man stuff when they were really
they were
selling out. At one point, they were selling out like pretty quick. And I think like on eBay or whatever, you could resell them for quite a lot. So that'll be what happens here. So make sure that you are listening to all our channels. I mean, we'll talk about it more next week and on the Instagram for sure. But it could be... Actually, if you listen to next week's episode, it could be too late because I think there's a good chance that it literally releases at the end of the episode, or maybe like 3 hours after the episode. So stay tuned to the Instagram then, so you can get all those updates. But yeah, I think that's our announcements out of the way, and we can get into the meat of it. So first, we'll take a little step backwards. LA Grand Prix. George got to race here last year, and I remember very well his praise of the meet.
I was about to say, I feel like I hyped it up quite a lot. Yeah. I'm hoping it lived up to that. As the person that didn't even go back.
Yeah.
It was great meet last year.
For me, it did. Like, it was sick. Well, there was a couple of things that were a little bit weird about it, which we'll get to. But in terms of the athlete experience, staying in a hotel that's a 5-minute walk from the track, it's pretty hard to beat that. And we were looked after pretty well. I got there on Wednesday last week because my race was on Friday. Ollie got in on Thursday before his Saturday race. And I don't know, the hotel was chill, looked after us good. What do you think?
Well, it was weird because Penn doesn't really count personally for me, like going to an actual meet like that, because like it's on run and you're kind of just with your on family and you're just in the same kind of vibes. But it was definitely back into the hotel, breakfast, lunch, dinner, catching up with all the different athletes from different brands and seeing all these cool athletes around the hotel. Like, that was just...
Wait, they gave you all your meals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They leveled up this year.
We didn't even get breakfast. But we didn't get... But it might have been still a post-COVID...
Maybe.
No, we made that up. There was definitely no COVID
certain,
last
certain
year.
Events were able... Like, if you're in a certain race, you were able to get the hotel and then food covered.
If you're in any of the A... The
I'm
a
trying
meets,
to think. Yeah. Some people were...
And then travel covered. But
if you were staying in the hotel, then like
I remember going out for a lot of meals.
Everyone in the hotel got the meals.
I think we got per diem instead last year. Oh, okay. They just gave out cash.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
For some reason. They've leveled up. Yeah. Or down, depending on how you look at it. But I like it.
The hotel food was fun.
I like it.
It's a fun time to hang out. That's like the main thing.
Dude, that's like... Dylan Jacobs was like, so what do you do at these meets, Norman? I'm like... Spend like 2 to 3 hours at every meal. No, yeah.
Usually at breakfast we're just there chilling. From like 7.
We should
go
back upstairs and tell him, all right, see you back down here in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
just hang out. Freaking just catching up with different groups.
And that was the story of this meet. Before the meet happened. So on Thursday, the track was open for pre-meet, like 4:30 to 6:30. So like a kind of small window. Pretty much everyone gets there at, you know, around like 4:30 or 5, and it was crazy because so Friday night was just all the distance stuff, apart from like the top heats of like the 15 and the 8 were on the Saturday, but most of the distance stuff was all on Friday night. And so Thursday pre-meet was literally like the most people that I've ever known or like known of in a small space like together. It was overwhelming, just like how many, like, because it was just a meet that attracted, and rightly so, pretty much every single professional like distance runner in America that's like fit and like
shocker
looking to race.
You host a meet in an easily accessible city like LA,
yeah,
with good fields and
yeah, had good A, good B, everything C else, heats, and it was just
oh, lots
of
people
there.
Come.
It was intense, like trying to like not just like have conversations with everyone and just get on with your business. But it was cool. Even Mick Byrne brought his Badger crew out, which was so funny. I didn't realize
the Wisconsin people running.
Yes.
Isn't regionals in like 2 days?
You want to hear some crazy shit? You want to hear some crazy shit about how good of a man, how loyal Mick is to his athletes? And I hope this doesn't get him in trouble in any way, but can you imagine a coach doing this? He didn't race these guys at Big Tens because he wanted them to have a shot at getting the Olympic standard. He didn't race them at Big Tens, and they still came third at Big Tens somehow. I don't know how, but he didn't race them at Big Tens, and he let them...
Did they get them?
They didn't get the standard, but
trial standard maybe.
Yeah, Bob was did. That? Bob ran 13:09.
Dude, I saw that.
Yeah, Jackson ran 13:17, and then Rowan was also in the 5K, but I can't remember what he ran.
Did they run in Wisconsin?
Nope. I don't think so.
I think they're not. I think they have to run in like something else.
Did, say, even
Jackson?
If he,
I don't know.
Would that count as a collegiate record?
So Bob ran in his NIL sponsor, which is Kip Run.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Well, Abdullahi also ran the 800. And
what was he wearing?
He was wearing like a, I think it was like a Canadian club kind of jersey. So I don't think they could wear Wisconsin gear, but they could wear like anything.
Mm-hmm.
So
Bob's time, that's got to be like number 3 outdoors all time.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Does it count if you're redshirting? Because I think he's redshirting.
That's a good question. Probably not for the records, but it would count for
everything
else.
Is it a Wisconsin record?
Yeah, I believe so. Because I think
it's pretty cool. Then.
If you're in school, it counts. Yeah,
I think I might have had it before, at 13, 15. I think you had it
in Belgium.
Yeah, but I think the only thing that maybe, which maybe Bob's time is even quicker than this, but potentially, like, you know how some people count the, like, the season after, like, when you graduate and then that summer? Like, some schools count that and some schools don't. I think maybe Chris Solinski ran a quick 5K in that time period, but I'm not sure what it is. But I don't know if
I'm
he
impressed that Mick did that.
Yeah, Mick's a homie, isn't he?
I only got to see Mick for about 3 seconds.
When did you see him?
Like, literally, I did a stride onto the track just before the race starts, and I see Mick and, like, the Wisco boys. I went over and fist bumped them, and that was it. I didn't see him after that.
I also
gave a salute to Duncan, who Creamy Boys.
Creamy Boys was there?
Yeah, he was there.
In attendance?
He messaged me a few times. I unfortunately wasn't able to see him because I had workout and drug testing, but he was there to watch the meet, but he was also there to cream on. It was cool to see him. He got a lot of creaming out there, but it was cool to see him. So I saw him as well. It was actually pretty wild. Like, Morgan was spot on. Like, you go to this area, it's me. It's just everyone there, you know, in some form. So it's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Ollie got to go to the press conference prepping Coffee Club.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
They must have gone down a very, very, very long list, and then everyone kept saying no.
And who were you there with?
Sam Kendricks, Joe Kovacs, and a 100-meter sprinter lady who I've forgotten her name, which is really bad of me. But she anchored the 4x1 at the World Relays and got the US Women's 4x1 a ticket to Paris. She also won the 100 at the meet. She's pretty freaking good. She trains with Shikari. She just started training with Shikari.
Tete?
I don't think
Terry.
She's pretty cool. She seems young.
Was it that Total Sports Melissa Jefferson or something?
Yeah, how good is our knowledge?
Yeah, my knowledge is bad, but she's very young and she was freaking good. So it was the four of us.
Everyone else was American.
Yeah, I was the only foreigner.
Wow, that's cool.
It was funny because I was like, "There's no way I'm supposed to be." Like, I was with Matt, and I was like, "There's no way I'm supposed to be here." I also was only wearing Coffee Club gear and then on shoes.
They probably wanted you there as a podcaster. They're like, "Oh, this dude's an expert at press conferencing." Who was it?
Melissa Jefferson.
Melissa Jefferson.
That was good from George.
That was good.
But she, so there's the four of us. Press conference was good. I didn't expect that would be any like videos or photos or anything like that, which was cool because I was wearing the Coffee Club shirt. Wanted to rep the brand, obviously. And the funniest thing was in the press conference, I only got asked about Coffee Club.
Really?
So, yeah, I got asked. So I got asked by, she was a famous runner. Whoever was mediating the
you're putting us on the spot again.
Yeah, she was a Nike athlete.
Nike athlete. All right, give us more.
I don't know if I can go two from two.
I don't know event. Distance
American?
Maybe. American, yeah. Jenny Simpson era maybe.
But a sprinter?
Shannon Roberry.
Oh. Yep.
Wait, that was it?
I think her name's Shannon, yep.
I think she was commentating at the meet.
Yeah.
She when I finished the race, she did an interview with me.
Did she have lipstick on?
Probably.
She was like known for racing with like very bright.
But she was. She did a little interview with me after. Like, I did a couple of interviews, but she was one of them. She mediated the podcast, mediated the press conference, and I got two or three questions, and most of them were about how to make the sport better and all that sort of stuff. Classic. And then two of them were about the podcast, like what from like they actually got a really good question from the audience, or one of the reporters saying from the podcast, what did you guys think that the sport needs after like seeing like the response from it, which was a really good.
Yeah, that's some big questions.
Yeah.
So
how much time did you have?
Well, I just went straight into it and said, I think like from what we've learned, like documentation and consistency and like storytelling is like what makes people passionate about athletes and events is that if you have a really good background knowledge of it, it makes people more invested and excited to be a part of it.
I think you're spot on.
That's what I said, and then I had a little post on my Instagram about it when I said it. But it was cool because I think I've only done two press conferences before. One was Milrose, and then this one. So yeah, and representing Coffee Club,
it's an honor.
No, and Penn Relays digital one or not digital?
Oh yeah, that
word
one.
Is.
Yeah, I did the Penn Relays digital one, but that one
a Zoom one.
That one had a lot of technical difficulties, unfortunately. But yeah.
No, it's cool. I mean, I feel like it's always an honor just to be among. those stars. Yeah.
Be recognized with Joe Kovacs, who's like world champ.
They must have been telling all the broadcasters about the podcast. Wow. I was hearing it on the feed when I was watching it.
Was that not Will Lear? Or was someone else?
No, it was the other stream. There were two streams.
Really?
Will was on not the NBC commentary. He was like the... This is coming from the Discord. Was Will commentating Saturday?
Maybe just Friday. Maybe he was only Friday then. Maybe Friday. Well, Saturday had Peacock, so maybe just... I mean, NBC window. So maybe just the NBC window was...
But even on Friday, the Discord was not coming through. It was struggling with the streams.
Really?
A couple of them were like full, and then the other ones were really glitchy. But one stream had Will Lear commentating, and one stream had... other people commentating.
There was multiple for the Friday.
Like I'm Saturday, pretty sure there was two different streams.
That's so interesting.
And then Saturday, I think, was just the NBC stream. So that was not Will Lear, I don't think.
Fair enough.
But that was funny having him on there.
They love talking about the podcast. I think it's just something that differentiates us and from the other athletes, you know? And it's like, I mean, it definitely, when you talk about storylines and all that, it helps us, you know, share our storylines with people. So it makes sense that it's something that they would reference, because we normally, I mean, going into every race pretty much that we run at this point, like right before the race, we say something about the race on the podcast, you know what I mean?
And like with Hobbs as well, we talked about Hobbs and had him on as a guest, and then like I mentioned him in the press conference about like his 2 cents about the whole like
I listened to that
shit talking stuff, like,
and then he ran a huge PB
and then he ran mad and he also missed his flight. Did you hear that?
On
the way there, Ronnie was telling me when we're at dinner. It was me, Ronnie, and Walshy. Walshy says hello, by the way, George. He says, "Are you getting soft? Not going to these meets anymore." But yeah, Tom and Ronnie were there, and Ronnie was telling me that Hobbs got to the airport with Bryce, but didn't think he had to check in. Like, he thought it was pretty chill because it's Flagstaff. If you don't check in 20 minutes before your flight, they like take away your seat. Like
you say, Flagstaff is you can literally get there like 25 minutes before your flight.
He got there like 15 minutes before, and then he couldn't board the plane, so he had to book another flight, and he got in at like 1 a.m.
What an idiot!
Classic.
So Ronnie was telling me about that, but like that's just like, and then he goes and just crushes it. So
yeah. Awesome. Well, shall we get into the racing then? Because Friday night, as I said, had all the 5Ks, and then had the B and C heats for the 8 to 15, and it had the A steeple as well, all the heats of the steeple. But yeah, Hobbs was in the, this was, I think, a highlight for most people just because of how entertaining and exciting it was. And everyone wanted to see what Hobbs was going to run in the 800. It's always interesting when you have such an amazing 1500 meter guy coming down to the 8. And he has already run quick 800s before, but his race was so entertaining because he was stacked up against some other amazing runners, like I think 144 guys, like the Mexican guy, 144.
I'm surprised he didn't make the A heat.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking
literally ran 144 last week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess the A heat maybe was pretty stacked.
Yeah, it was. The heat might have already been full.
But. Yeah, but it was just a classic. Like Hobbs was, I mean, a bit back at the start just because he can't get off the line the same as these pure 800 guys. And then it was so funny because 300 in, like going into the home stretch, going into the bell, he was out on like lane 3 trying to make his way up onto the around up to the front, and then he found himself stuck on the inside on the last lap. And then if you're listening, you haven't seen this, just go on YouTube and watch it, because I'm pretty sure it's on there. It's the craziest finish ever. He passes on the inside with 10 meters to go, but there's no space. There's literally no space, and he just has still enough, like everyone is very lactic at the end of the 800, but he still has enough energy to like jump around someone essentially.
He turned his body completely sideways, snuck through on the inside, and then it was like, must have been feeling good enough to just like still like hold it all together. And then he didn't even look that gassed over the line.
Oh, it looked amazing.
The issue was that as soon as we saw that, he did nick our Mexican friend who was leading, so everyone was like, shit, did he just DQ himself? And he was also worried about it because he kept going like this. He did the Michael Jordan, like
I saw the Jakob.
Yeah, like, oh shit, I don't know, like, but luckily, yeah.
Well, I think in the B heat of the 800, you're probably
okay.
Fine. No one's gonna throw up a protest, but
the replay didn't look like he impeded him too much. But like, if he knocked him a bit more, maybe it might have caused something. But it was only a little knock. It wasn't like crazy.
He tried really hard not to.
You can see how hard he's tried to like not knock him.
If you do that to snag the third spot on the Olympic team at the trials, there might be a little bit more of an argument against it. Mm-hmm. So maybe don't do that, Hobbs.
Yeah. But it worked in this scenario.
I have my.
He looks so good.
Speaking of that, George, I have my picks for the 1500. For American chance, but we'll get on that later.
Now I'm excited.
What else happened?
I mean, I'm trying to think just off the top of my head.
Beetlejuice 335.
Yeah, he won the 1500.
And then Beetlejuice.
Oh, he did too.
Yeah.
And
my good friend Morgan.
That was quite a fast B heat.
It was very good.
Honestly, even like the C heats were stacked. Yeah. It was just a lot of really good people there. It really was. And
the steeple was entertaining.
Steeple was good. Came
down to the last 2 meters probably.
Do you know the name of the Canadian guy that won?
That's the guy we talked about him recently in Jean Simon, I think.
Jean Simon.
Like Dijonet or something. He's got to be super. Must be from Quebec.
Yeah. Dijon Mustard.
He was not getting any love during the race, though. I think he was like by far the best, apart from Evan. But Evan's not quite running as he previously has. Easily the best runner in the field. Like I think the only person in the field to make the final in Budapest. And they didn't mention his name, I think, till after he'd already won the race.
That's what happens if you're Canadian, I guess.
Also, if you're Will Lear and you work for Under Armour and you're commentating.
True. There was a bunch of other pretty good Under Armour athletes in that field.
Yeah, well, that was the guy he was kicking down at the end. So
was it Wilkinson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That dude's good, though.
He's coming on real good this year.
They ran 8:16. So another American just missing the standard.
Yeah. Not bad, though.
But entertaining.
Not bad. And then to cap it off, there was some 5Ks, which was what I was competing in. And there is some interesting backstory to the race because you guys that are like fans, I wonder what you were thinking, because the messaging around the race in terms of who was racing was so unclear to us going into it. And I was really trying to work out like I knew that I was in the A heat, but at times I was scared that the A heat wouldn't suit me because I was hearing these crazy, crazy names that were in it and crazy like pacemaking, like times were being thrown out. So
I mean, even more than that, 2 weeks out, the A heat was going to be on a different day.
Yeah.
Was going to be on the Saturday. And one of the biggest concerns was do we really want to run a 5K at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
In LA?
Potentially hot, windy.
Potentially not, compared to running 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. But then that got changed as well. That changed up a lot of, I feel like that was like, the pacing and the conditions were like the two things that really...
Yeah, and I got to give credit to the meet. They nailed it on both accounts by, changing the time to like a really good time. And then the pacing was only, I think it was set for 7:48 or something like that, which for those guys is pretty doable. And it meant that it actually suited me to like be in that race as well. So in the end, I was like... Oh, it was so annoying actually, because even like the day before when my pre-meet, I found out that Adrian Wielischut was pacing the B race, and then I was like, well, fuck, like
he's 12:56 guy.
He's 12, yeah, like what better pacer could you ask for if you're trying to run 13:05? Like that sounds amazing. Like, and I know he's doing it for like his teammates Olin and Ahmed, like perfect. So even that was like putting some questions, but then it was kind of like, all right, I'm in the A, I just gotta like commit to it, go do it. And luckily enough, I mean,
I committed. It was commit or run by yourself. So
yeah, it really was.
You had no choice.
I had no choice. I mean, I definitely
because you were still. Were you at the back? Or well, one from the back.
I mean,
was you on call for
about a mile? I was ahead of Cheptegei or Aragawi.
They moved up.
Moved up Lola.
Well, they just got out so relaxed in the race, like they were chilling at the start. So
it's so impressive watching them have enough confidence to do that, and you realize that. You really can like chill off the line and run really fast.
Yep. So, but yeah, for most of the race, I was at the back or in like second. I was at the back of the pack, kind of hanging on to Cole. But that took a like definitely going into the race. That's what I was psyching myself up to do. Because at BU, I think I went through in low 750s and it felt really hard.
What'd you go through in here?
49. Yeah. And so I was. That's what I was psyching myself up for, was to just commit and just believe that I could do it. And I think it was just like to give you like the short version, I think it was just one of those nights where just everything ended up like feeling pretty perfect. Like going into the race, my body felt like not amazing, but like good, like not bad at all. Like I felt fine, and then the conditions were just so good, and everyone in the field, the weather was amazing. The everyone in the field, I think, was on the same page of like, yeah, let's just like run this pace and then get after it at the end. And I knew that I really was relying on like Cole or Cooper going into it to be in like a similar spot. Obviously Cooper was like freaking way ahead, but Cole ended up being the one that was like in a very similar boat to me. And the pace felt like uncomfortable but doable, you know, which sometimes it feels uncomfortable and like you're not sure still. But this felt like uncomfortable but doable. And so as I like went through the race, like I was definitely in a lot of pain, but I felt good about like being able to like hold it through. And my splits ended up being pretty solid. It was like, I think the first K was 237 and 236, 235. And then the fourth K slowed down a little bit to 238. And then I was able to close in at 232, I think. And that equaled 1300 something.
8.5.
Yeah. So.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah, I was pretty... I was a bit emotional after it. Like I wasn't like outwardly showing that much emotion, but
yeah,
I was gonna say.
I feel like it would have been nice if you did.
Yeah, for fuck's sake,
I wanted to see that. To see it, yeah. God damn it!
Well, where would you have seen that?
Fucking photos.
I don't know. The stream was It was quite blurry on the Discord, but
so
we all know that like you've had this in you for like like you ran 13:15 in 2017.
Yeah.
That's 7 years. Like, we know that you could have run this for a long time.
Yeah.
And to finally get it done.
Yeah.
We'll know what it means. But
yeah, it meant a lot. It did. So,
you're just too cool.
No, like, so I just, like, wanted to, well, so when I finished, I didn't know what time I had run.
At all? Yeah. Not even, like.
So that's why I wasn't showing any emotion.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Moment.
Did the clock stop and for then, the winner or something?
Yeah, and then this is what happened. I went over to the tent. I went to the tent. And there was interviews, and they started interviewing me, and I'm like, I don't know what time I ran. And then they showed it to me. I'm like, oh shit. And then it started hitting me. And then they asked me like two questions, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go. So then I just left pretty abruptly. Like, I don't think my interview was like more than a minute long, because I just wanted to go. And then I went off into a dark corner, and then I started like crying a little bit.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'd be annoyed if you didn't.
And then so. I went and saw like, and then I went and saw everyone, and I wasn't like crying, but it was just so special to see Cinta, Dathan, Haas, Kelsey, just like so happy, you know. Pretty amazing.
It's what we train for, so, those moments.
Yeah, I think it was one of those races, like, yeah, like you said, everything was perfect, but also like even on a perfect night you could have, a lot of other things could have happened. Like you took advantage of it and in the best way possible. Like,
yeah, it's not luck to do that. It's
no
commitment.
Yeah.
So
you get a good night and then you take advantage of it.
Yeah. It's not the other way. It's like, oh, it's just going to happen. It doesn't. Yeah. You have to make it happen.
Yeah. I was a bit, and Jonas was super pumped for me and he hadn't even like gone a race yet. And so I was like, I don't know. I mean, you guys have had massive achievements. It's like, I mean, you get sometimes I think the emotion probably hits you straight away, but sometimes it doesn't. Like, well, sometimes, like, the weight of it doesn't hit you straight away. And I think that takes a bit of time. Because, like, I don't know, my mentality.
Has it sunk in, though, that you're 30-minute flat 5K runner? Because that's pretty fucking, very, very high.
Sounds a lot better than 13:07.
Very
even though
high
it's only, even though it's only, like, six, 7 seconds, it's,
not many
it's
people,
so much better.
Not many people have run under 13:05. Like,
honestly, like, when you ask me straight up, I don't know if it has fully set in. Because, I don't know, it's, like, literally, since I want to say like 2019 probably, when I've gone into a season, I've been like, I want to run this time. Like, it's been like on my mind, like sub 13:05 or around 13 minutes. Like, I've been wanting to run that for so long. I really have. And like, I've been, I don't know, maybe at some points I've been able to run close to it. I mean, I'm obviously in the best shape that I've ever been in right now, but I don't know, there's something about, I think when you just chase it for so long that, and then it happens, I think it still takes a bit of time to set in. But I will say that, because going into the race, I was like, I wasn't struggling, but definitely compared to how I once was, like my confidence is not the same, or like my self-belief. But it's, I mean, I don't know if confidence is the right way of saying it. I just am in a different place to how I once was, where like when I line up in a race like this, it's like I know I'm not just going to like go to the front and just stick at the front with these guys, which is like at one point, like when I was going through the NCAA at the end, like I was, that's how I felt. So to come to terms with like being where I'm at and then just like be able to put down something like this, which is again feeling like I'm moving forwards and I'm moving back to where I want to be, which is like feeling like that as a professional, that's like what feels really, really, really special to me. And that gives me a lot of self-belief and confidence going forwards. So yeah, and that's even like for this season, like I mean, I'm really excited for the future in general, but this season, like the Olympics, like I'm definitely feel like I can really compete at that level now with a time like this. Not that you can't, not that it's impossible to compete. Well, maybe it is impossible.
It might be, dude.
It is impossible. Like you do, to be able to compete in Olympic final, you have to have a time that's pretty good. That's the reality, you do. I guess.
I mean, I think that's how you, I mean, you said it in your Citrus podcast and probably a lot last year. Like last year, you were maybe in 13:20, 13:15 shape. When you get to the heats in Budapest and like, it's just not... That's not going to cut it.
There's nothing you can do when,
that's what you said,
when
like
12:40 guys start running hard.
It doesn't matter what you do, how tactical, like how well you run it tactically, you just, it's not going to be possible.
Yeah.
But 30 minutes is a different story.
Yeah. So
100%.
I'm very happy now.
And it's only May.
Yeah. That's it as well. I'm taking, like, I'm pretty tired from it, from the race and like a lack of sleep. So luckily now I finally have the luxury of some time to kind of reset a little bit. So I'm going to make the most of that.
And as long as AA does their job and
picks the right people. I feel good. And credit to Stewie. He had everyone in that race except for, I'm blanking on who was behind me, who came last. I think that was Rotich, Anthony.
He's a steeple chaser, so don't worry.
No, he's best race. But everyone else had really good races, and it was an amazing race at the front.
That's the thing. We've been saying for so long, stop pacing races at 7:40. You pace them at 7:50, it's going to be super entertaining.
So everyone can close.
It was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
I was really impressed. Like, going back, and even like, well, while I was racing, I wasn't realizing this, but I went back and watched it and seen like Atkins and Cooper like at the front, like not afraid.
It was impressive.
Pretty baller. That was cool.
Why the fuck did Cooper ever leave Ben Thomas?
Yeah, it's showing up now that's like, he's probably kicking himself of like, I've just wasted like a couple years of my professional career going to Jerry.
It was only one. Yeah, it was literally just one
year.
But like,
well, he's wasted 1 year because it definitely seems like he's in the right hands.
He's
going
to
right
feel
now.
Very affirmed.
Yeah, with where his decisions are.
And
with
that sets him
coaching
up well to make the 5K team.
I mean, he's 1 second behind Grant.
Yeah.
And Abdi Hamid's chilling in the B heat. That's going to be...
I mean, the 5K team is going to be crazy.
It's going to be so
puts him
crazy.
In the right spot. So, yeah, I just yeah.
It was a fun race to watch.
No words. No more words, really. But then, I mean, we'll get through the rest of them a bit more quickly so we can move on to Ollie and then move on to Pri because there's still a bit to talk about. But the rest of the 5Ks that night were pretty sick as well. They combined for the men's, the B and the C heat. So it was just a massive heat of like 30 people or something. Jonas had a solid race. He got out a bit further back than he wanted to, but then he was able to bring it home pretty strong, 13:15, which for him is like, you know, I think he obviously wants to run quicker, but I think it's good to have that forward momentum. Abdi had made it, I don't know, like Abdi was meant to be in the A heat and then he went down to the B heat and he wanted the standard, but he made it very hard for himself. He had to work really hard.
Why did he want the standard? Did he want the standard?
Well, I don't know what he wanted. Why was he?
I think in the interview I watched, he just said, he made it sound like Smith told him
just practice racing,
run the last K hard in the B heat.
Oh, maybe not then.
Because he ran the exact same time in Boston, like 13:04 point something.
Oh, I forgot that he had it.
Me too. And then I watched and I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
But no, I think it was, from what he said, it was like a Smith decision to just focus on racing.
Well, he closed.
Maybe he thought that the A heat was going to be like going out in like 7:40 though. Like it actually probably, he still could have practiced racing, I would have said.
He did think that because I saw him like 2 days before and that's what he told me.
Yeah.
He told me like, yeah, it's going out at 7:40. So,
but he looks like he's in good shape either way.
He looked good and a lot of good results. I know Olin wanted the standard, but he just missed it by a few seconds as well. But he was up there going for it, so you got to respect that. And as we mentioned, yeah, King Bob, Wisconsin boy. I think he's a senior. I don't know if he's a fifth year. I think he has some eligibility next year, though, but running 13.09, crazy.
So what did Craigsy run?
He fell off a bit.
Did he?
I don't know what he finished in, but I know that he went for it because he was pushing at the front as well. I think he fell off a bit. And, yeah, so there's a lot of good results there as well. And then ESP, is that?
ESP, yeah.
Did she run any distance? 14, was it 34?
14? I think it was.
34.
Wait, 34?
34, yeah.
Closing in 63. Like her whole last mile was really impressive, especially last lap. So
what number is that all time? US?
I think it's number three? Five.
Oh, five.
Well, maybe four outdoors. I think.
Who one. Has the 5K?
Alicia.
Alicia's a 5K, 19.
Team. Yeah.
Shelby didn't run quicker than that?
20 something.
Shelby's run quicker than ESP.
Yeah, but she. I thought Shelby still had it. I forgot Alicia broke it because it was 20 something, right? It was Shelby's.
I think the list might be like something along the lines of Alicia, Shelby, Carissa. And then yeah. I think, who am I missing?
Elise? Did Elise ever run?
I don't think so.
I'm missing someone. I think Shannon Roberry has run around a similar time.
I was almost going to say that.
So I don't know if she's four or maybe
and then
she's
ESP.
Six. I don't know. But very yeah. Nice.
She can do anything.
I mean,
any distance. I don't know what she's going to run in the trials.
Double.
I would double if I was her.
Is the 1500 first? She's so good.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
For the men, it is.
I don't know. Yeah.
For the men, it is. Women, don't know.
We'll see. So, yeah, that was the Friday night. And then the main action of the meet was on Saturday. And it was a nice afternoon meet. LA still not like that big of a crowd, which was probably the only like letdown because everything else was pretty sick. But apparently last year it was fully packed and they did a lot more advertising and hype for it. Whereas this year, I guess it didn't get the same. I think my
probably because of pre last year, wasn't pre. Maybe that's why.
I do have a funny story to tell that I didn't tell, but I'll tell it quickly in the interest of time. So when I got there on Wednesday night, I'm having my beauty sleep, and I'm pretty precious about my sleep, especially before a race. And I get woken up in the middle of the night by a door slamming, like in the room next to me. And I hear all these voices, like, and I'm like, what's going on? I didn't know what time it was. I was like pretty disorientated. I like go to the toilet, I go back to sleep, and I fall asleep. So it's like fine. But then I have my sleep, and then later at what I thought was like 6 a.m., I get woken up again by like these noises coming from next door. And I'm like, what the heck is going on next door? And I think in the middle of the night, I assumed that it was like a kind of classic hotel, like people are like drunk party vibe type scenario going on. But then in the morning, I'm a little more aware. And I realize it's a lady talking very excited on the phone, doing like business stuff. I'm like, what the hell is happening? Like, why is this happening in the room next to me? Like at 6 in the morning and like in the middle of the night. And anyway, fast forward to lunch. I'm sitting with Dylan Jacobs, and he's telling me that like he didn't get a great sleep. And then I'm like, yeah, I had a kind of rough one as well. Like these freaking people in the room next to me like would not shut up. It was so weird. They just like, we're talking so much and so loud. And when I started talking, it was like just us two in the room. But then as I'm talking, like a lady is standing in the doorway and she's like looking at me and she's like, oh yeah, that was me. And she mean like, I don't know. She like knew, I think she was waiting for me to say something so then she could come and call me out. And it turns out that in the room next to me was like the Tracktown USA setup. And there was five people working until 2 a.m. that night organizing pre. That's what they were doing. Like, they were literally doing work until 2 a.m. organizing pre, like, freaking out, like, grinding 1 week before the race. And then she came over and she sat down and she, like, I don't know. She was kind of apologizing and kind of, like, trying to make me feel bad, but I think more apologizing. She was like, oh, well, at least your race isn't today. I'm like, are you serious? Like, come on. Come on. I don't think, like, anyone would like that. But yeah, and then it was kind of awkward because I kept seeing her the rest of the time. But yeah, that's my little sleep story. But then, yeah, moving on to the meat of it, a lot of very good events. With, I mean, you raced very early.
Yeah, it was 12:30. I think Sage was 10, 15 minutes before me. It was a very early meet mm-hmm. for us because I think the whole Saturday session was over 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like in and out. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't a long meet.
And your race was very stacked, as you would expect. How were you feeling going into it? What were the vibes like, warm up, etc.?
Pretty standard.
Yeah.
I spent.
Did you guys like the track pre-meet?
The track was quick.
I liked it.
It was
like,
good, right?
I loved it.
It's a very fast track. I wouldn't want to run a steeplechase or a 5K on it. I guess if I was going to do that, I'd be very, very cautious on what I wear shoe-wise because it's very, very hard.
It is.
So, huh? Like, steeplechase-wise, like, I think Morgan was getting treatment from a guy on Saturday when we were, like, talking about, like, the race. I got to see Morgan and congratulate him and obviously be super happy. And the guy was, like, saying, like, yeah, like, a lot of steeplechases have had, like, their legs are kind of busted up from it because it's just such a hard track. But it's a fast track and it's great for middle distance running and sprinting, obviously. Warm up vibes are pretty chill. I warmed up with Jesse Hunt, OAC Oceania guy. It was also in the race. My roommate was Cameron Myers, so it was a very Australian based.
Aussie takeover bros.
Yeah, Australian based race. Vibes were good. Going to the race, obviously, like the goal was to run the standard. The pacer was going to, I was told that the pacer was going to do 153. And then he told us at the on the line that he's going to run 152. So, which is like, I guess, a second, you know, whatever. And also, it's also, you know, if you go through 152, you can feel confident that you've got a bit of space, a bit of wiggle room.
What's the pace meant to be?
The standard is slower than that, for sure.
It is.
152 is 330.
331 was the lights, apparently. What I heard over the commentary. But he was saying 152 for the pacing. But I think he was only pacing 800. So my plan was, like, Dathan kind of went like, oh, just get on the pacer. Hopefully some guys will come and help you out. If not, just, like, try and hold it and just trust that you can run the time. And I think once I got into the race, I think the first lap, I started to think, like, my confidence wasn't great. The pacer kind of went out and I just didn't. Like, usually, like, the old Ollie before would just go with the pacer regardless. Like, I went through 151 at, like Eugene and Mount Sac and some of those races, like, early on in my career, and I just had no fear. I definitely had fear in the race, and I think I just have, like, a lot of lack in confidence. Like, Penn was going through my head a little bit about hitting the rail and, like, just being a bit awkward, a bit like a baby giraffe with the running. So my confidence wasn't great in the race, to be honest. And then Ronald Chariot and Fog Dog, who's been crushing it this year, they went around me and I was like just kind of in the same spot I was in for Aussies champs. It was just like boxed in on the rail, which apparently pissed off Dathan. And then like at that point the pacer kind of got away and it just became like a tactical race, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna try and win this race. It felt like, for me personally, which has now given me confidence, it felt very slow the entire race. And then the last lap, I was expecting a big wind-up, and I was just trying to get out because I was, like, ready to go. And everything felt very slow, which was, like, exciting for me because we still didn't run very slow. We still ran, like, decently quick.
And 3:35?
34. So I think I was just trying to get out and go, and I didn't get my opportunity to go out and get out until about 1:10. And then once I took off, it was actually crazy because I usually in like races, most races that I've done the past couple of years, I felt like I'm like holding something. Whereas this race, I definitely felt like this was the first time I was like really accelerating.
Sprinting.
Since probably I won NCAAs. That's like the only race I can think of where I've had a similar race where I was really accelerating.
That was almost just so fast already.
Yeah, I feel like I was maintaining.
Maintained better than everyone. Yeah, that makes sense.
Whereas like this, like I really accelerated, and
a little textbook action at the end.
Yeah, a bit of George Beamish. And I was initially I was pretty disappointed in myself because I was like,
why?
I'm explaining why. I was disappointed in myself because I was like, well, that felt so easy, and I could have run the standard here, and I just didn't, and it was like, you know, I was a bit annoyed about that, but then Dathan and Kelsey had a chat after the race, and it was like a very positive thing for me. Like I haven't won a race in a while. Most races I've done, like Diamond Leagues and stuff, I was always like seconds or thirds. So it's nice to win a race, and it was just a good tactical race to like to win too, and the acceleration and everything like that. There's a lot of positives to take out of it, and it definitely gave me the confidence that I was lacking before the race. Now and leading into pre, I think it's given me a confidence to say, okay, I'm in a really good place. I should trust the result. And yeah, but it was just a weird feeling, I think, after the race for me, because I was very much focused on like one goal, which I didn't hit. But I actually, if anything, I actually think I was happier doing what I did, not running the standard, because winning a race like that is going to give me, and also like my body felt amazing. So it's just going to give me more confidence going into pre, because pre in itself is just such a monster of a race. So yeah, felt good about it now. Initially didn't feel good about it, and then reassessed and was like,
that's a pretty good dub.
Yeah, be happy with it. So
very good dub. I mean, Chariot, that's a 330 guy.
Yeah.
It's the younger one.
Yeah. I think good.
He is good. But he ran in the crazy 2K behind you. I think he was like second in that 2K.
Oh, really?
4:47 or something.
2K specialist.
Well, I think though, I thought it was great to see you run differently, honestly. Like, it was a nice change, because it also made me think back to when you felt like every single race you had to like run until you would like black out over the line, because that was kind of what you felt like you had to do back in, that was before Tokyo, right?
Yeah.
2021.
Yeah.
But honestly, I mean, it was like you probably like you were winning still, so then maybe that was fun. But it didn't look like that enjoyable. It looked stressful, like because you felt like every time you had to do it a certain way, and like no one was really going to help you.
It was very clearly obvious that no one was going to help me either. Which I was like
in this race, or yeah, in back
this
race. Then.
No, well, this race and back then. This race in particular, I thought like there was going to be guys going for the standard, but really they were just going to wait for me to go and then just sit on me. So
I think you have the reputation from back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you still run your first 100 meters like all out. So like no surprise that you're at the front. And then everyone's like, all right, Ollie's at the front. Great for us. But then it was like nice to see you like, yeah, maybe the standard got a lot harder to get, but so what? Like you're going to be, if you want to compete in the next couple of weeks, you're going to have to run a lot faster than the standard anyway.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that. And it was like, yeah, it was nice to see you kick from back and, you know, run tackly and not feel like you had to run, like it just didn't look as hard as having to just run from the front.
No. No, I agree.
It was nice.
It felt pretty good, actually. Yeah.
Like it looked like easy. It felt good instead of going out like world record pace, hanging on for dear life back in 2021 days.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
When you needed the standard, because the last couple of years you haven't needed the standard.
No.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. So this time, yeah. No, it was good.
My thoughts.
Overall, like initially I felt shit about it, but now looking back on it, like having the reassessment of it, it's a really, really big positive for me. So, yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. A win's a win.
Probably worth a lot of points too, actually.
Yeah.
It was
a ton of points.
Gold and winning. That's still a lot.
3:34 is a decent time too, so I think it helps if you have the three. Decent time, points.
Ranking will be coming back up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome to win like that. And, I mean, every race that day was stacked, just going through like some of the other distance ones, looking at our team. Cinta had her first 15 of the season, 4:04. She was also a bit disappointed after it because she got beaten by like women that she's like, yeah, I want to be beating these people. So like definitely understandable, but for considering coming back from injury and where she's at, I think that's actually still really good forward momentum for her running 4:04. It's crazy how the time
wasn't
like perception
the standard last year,
like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I think so. I think like I don't know. The perception of times is just so different.
Yeah,
you know?
It's very different.
Like I remember when like talking about the 1500 for you, like 3:34 was like a really good winning time.
Mm.
Like
3:36 used to be the standard.
Yeah, not that long ago.
Now 3:36 is tactical.
So, yeah, I think she's in a great spot, and she's got the weird thing for her and all the other Europeans is that Europeans are so soon. So I think she's she'll have very good momentum going into that one. So she'll go over and race that in just like 2.5 weeks or whatever it is. So I think she's in a good spot for it. Sage was one of those athletes at the meet who probably increased her stock the most, as they like to say. It was a lot of really, really good people in the 800, especially like really good Americans, but she came out very, very far on top and crushed with a 158, closing really strong. So she looked absolutely amazing.
Her stock has increased so much. She's had the call up.
Is she going to pre?
Yeah, she is.
She got in.
As of like 2 hours ago.
Because nice. Ray, she texted her agent when we were on the flight because we flew back together. And she's like, apparently like the field's already set, so I might not be able to get in. But there are people that drop out of those meets.
Someone dropped out.
I'm guessing it might have been that thing because she was in it.
Yeah, so I think Sage must have been. I wonder if Sage was either like or top of the wait list or something. So she was like maybe the first ed after someone dropped out. So someone's dropped out. We were just looking at flights. At the gym together. guess how much a return flight to Eugene costs?
Not
3 days. It's Monday now. We're flying out Thursday night.
$700.
Not even close.
That's what I was going to guess.
Not even close.
It's more than that.
It's a grand. $1,500.
$1,150
or
something.
Oh my fucking God. And that's like crazy. A small flight too. Why is it? It's insane.
Crazy.
Yeah. Insane.
But good for her. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
The men's 800 was a sick race as well. It was unreal. Bryce Hopple won in 143 and looked amazing.
He looks so good at the moment.
But so did the other. Like I would say the other American guys looked pretty good as well.
Is it Jewett?
Isaiah Jewett.
He's really fitting.
They looked good. And then the big one. Wyman.
Wyman. I'm calling it now. Wyman's going to be very dangerous in that mile. He's going to be very dangerous. I saw him during the meet, obviously, and having a chat and catching up with him, just I can feel the confidence off him, and that's scary because I think he's had a lot of time. And it's funny in his post-race interview, he talks.
I was about to say
he's like it's funny how people forget that I was a world champion and then I got injured, and then like people just like, oh yeah, it's Josh and Jakob now. It's like I'm still here. And he's like 100% right. Like this dude is fucking good. Like
they were asking him like how he. I think they're asking the same question they asked you, like, are you going to get involved in any of this? He kind of said like, oh, like I have nothing to show for, like I haven't been racing, so I can't really. But also like it's crazy how quickly you get forgotten in this sport. Yeah.
Also, he's kind of already been involved in it at certain points.
Yeah,
early on he had some articles where he had some statements.
Yeah,
against Jingy or Josh.
Against Jingy, him and Josh were tag teaming for a little bit of that. So yeah, that was a sick race, and then. We did forget to mention, just to round out the meet kind of, Mario, our teammate, he was in the C heat of the 800. He ran 148. He was disappointed with it. I think he made a pretty bold move earlier on, and then I think the 800 has a way of sneaking up on you sometimes. But I don't know. It's not his event, so it's like,
yeah,
I think you can shrug it off pretty easily and just look forward to getting back on the track in your main event, which is the mile next week at Pre.
Mm.
So, yeah. Any other takeaways from the LA Grand Prix before we move on?
I go Sydney really showed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sydney really showed up.
Our girl that doesn't race.
Made us look silly.
Yeah, made us look pretty dumb.
Looked like the best 200-meter runner in the world.
Literally.
In the Neutrogena 200, the Sydney McLaughlin.
They were giving out all the Neutrogena, Sydney McLaughlin deodorant stuff.
It had her on it?
Yeah.
Well, not on the... Yeah.
Well, like a little card. It was like an ad thing. And I mean, it is funny.
She's so much bigger than us.
It is funny because, like, I don't like. She's,
I know why.
I don't see her. I've never really seen her at meets before.
Apparently, she was just getting swarmed, wasn't she?
She couldn't. She had to get escorted.
She was.
And there was like when I left, there was a look like fans there that wanted photos and autographs and stuff, even for me. And I was like, shit, like she can't come through here because it's like hundreds and hundreds of people waiting for her. But it was just weird seeing her at the meet because, like, she's just. Yeah, she's like she probably can't go anywhere.
Forget how big she is, really.
Like, it was like her or her husband and like three or four other people around her. Like I think if anybody got close to her, there's like the SWAT team would just take him out. Like it's just
especially in LA, like that's where she trains. That's I mean so many track people there.
Mm.
Makes sense.
I got a hot take. The New Balance kit, terrible. Fucking terrible. The high vis yellow. What's
that is
going
a hot
on?
Take. I like it.
I fucking hate it. I also don't like Sydney McLaughlin's kit. Don't like
with
it.
With the zip. I thought it was dope.
Nope. Don't like it. The style of it's fine. It's the colorways I'm having an issue with.
I like the gray.
Don't like it.
I think it's better than the Adidas kit.
I actually like the Adidas kit.
The like almost plain black, but with kind of
It's like, well, I like the women's cut. I like the women's kit. I think it looks cool.
Is it also black?
Well, they've got the yellow and... no, is it yellow or is it orange? Orange and
it's got like peachy
pink.
Orange trim on black, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who are you thinking of? What athlete? Maybe you didn't.
Don't worry about it. Wait, I'm thinking of, I saw, because they had the Atlanta meet, right? So I saw a lot of the athletes in the gear and I liked the Adidas gear. I thought it was cool. I didn't like the New Balance kit. Didn't like it. Mm. I didn't like the high yellow viz. I don't care who
I
you are.
I wish I could picture the kids. I can't picture
it. Like the Brooks high viz. I just don't like the high viz stuff. Like any other color with the design, I think it would look great. I just don't like the yellow, the high viz yellow.
How about how Nike's jerseys look exactly like the Bowman kit? Like to a T.
No, it's a slightly different. Do you guys remember like a couple years ago?
Well, I haven't seen him in person.
Do you guys remember a couple years ago, pink. Like before we were?
Is it pink?
It's pinkish.
Before we were professional athletes, that cloudy Nike kit that was like green or blue. It's the same kit, isn't it? As that one, it's just pink.
Wait, are you thinking of like the cloudy like blue and red one?
Maybe, but I've seen like photos of it.
Cloudy,
like
there's a green one which is like Oregon Track Club kit.
Yeah, it's kind of the same style. It seems like the same style as that, but just
they're, I would say their current kit does look very similar to like previous
kits.
Like just a slight like
because it looks like
it.
the Thunderstorm they used to have on
the
Bowman.
It does look a lot like that. But I actually like the Nike. I like the pink.
I like the pink. I like it a lot. Yeah, Cam.
And I like the I also like the green. I like the other ones as well.
Ethiopians are wearing green.
Yeah.
Americans have pink. What do you think of Chip DeGuy's jersey?
Dude, wasn't it just black? What was it? Was it gold?
Gold. The whole thing. The kit.
Do I have the worst funny memory? Well, I just can't picture any of these
What
kits.
I thought was funny about that, I was just telling, is that that's Jingy's kit.
Is it?
I'm assuming. And it's like gold and white. You know who also has a gold and white kit?
Josh Kerr.
That's going to be funny to see.
I mean, I guess it does just make sense. We're also just going to be like
golden white jerseys at Pre this weekend.
We're also debuting our kit at Pre, hopefully. So,
hopefully.
Eyes peeled.
Our kit looks sick. Like, it does.
Our kit's going to be so much
better. We just don't know if we're ever going to
get
it.
Yeah, we don't know if we're going to wear it. But
it is one of the coolest kits I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a mad kit.
Don't want to get your hopes up in case we don't get it.
Just in case we don't get it. But we're hoping we'll get it soon.
A little something on Saturday for everyone to see.
I'm feeling really left out that I can't remember any of these kits. And you know why it is? It's because I have my phone set to black and white. So when I scroll Instagram, everything looks the same.
You're not the only one that has it set to black and white, actually.
Who else?
There was somebody that I opened their phone. I think it's...
All day?
Yeah.
It was same battery or
all day, all night?
It was a runner that had his phone out.
Was it Harvey?
I think it was... No, I thought it was
Dylan
Bryce.
Jacobs? Bryce?
It should be... it's still black and white. You should have it red at night.
I do it... I don't do it for like... eyes or like sleeping or anything. I just do it purely because it makes your phone like way less fun to go on. And then once you've done it for enough time, if you go back to color, you guys should do it just so you can experience this. Just do like a 5 days of black and white and then try go back to color and it looks terrible. It's like so oversaturated and so much stimulus. It's like too much.
What if you want to take a photo and you're like, I don't know if this looks good or not?
So photography school. If you're black and white, that's normally a pretty good sign that it looks good. Because then you're actually seeing...
Like if it looks pretty good in black and white, then
you're really
look,
seeing the lighting.
Then it's going to look even better in color?
Yeah, like you're seeing like the cool lighting.
Okay.
But I guess, yeah, obviously color is something to take into account. When I do, when I really need to, like today for my Instagram post, I put color back on. I do it from time to time. So, yeah. But
that's our kit summary.
That's the kit summary. Prefontaine. Prefontaine.
I forgot we had to do that too.
Let's just, I mean, I don't know what else is happening. In my mind, the only event that's going on there is the Bowman Mile. And it is, I mean, I'm sure everyone has seen it because they released it like a week ago. Just the most amazing, mind-blowing field ever. A month ago, we got the headlines of the big battle between the return of Jingy, Josh Kerr, and Yard. And now the full list is out there. And these two boys, as well as Mario... It's really good OAC representation.
It's pretty crazy that probably one of the best miles that'll happen this year, we have four OAC people in it.
It's crazy. I mean, you guys are all very, very, very quick. They've put Centro in it, which is pretty cool.
And he had a great race, actually. He was third in the LA race, and he's looking to hopefully keep that momentum going. I'm hoping he has a great rest of his year.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we go through the field or just quickly?
Notable entries. That's pretty much everyone.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's everyone because there's
Cam Myers. Is Cam Myers the world record holder? at under?
No, no. I was talking to him about 351, Jakob.
So for, he, for which age is
under 18 or under 20?
Under whatever he is. He turns 18 in the month, so it'd be under 18, right?
The under 18 record is 351.
No, you have to be under 18 by the end of the year. So he must be under 20 now.
Under 20. So the under 20 record is 351.
That makes sense.
So he could, he's got a good shot at that.
Could go for it if he can pull it out. I'm picturing, I guess it's different from Alan Webb when he came around the whole field. Probably not going to go like that this time. But yeah, it's those guys. Reynold Chariot is back. Lemecha Germa.
I was about to say, do you know another battle I want to highlight?
Tell me.
The steeplechase battle. George versus Germa.
Dude, he just raced in Marrakesh. Yeah, he's coming to pretty.
That's the big week.
That's bold.
That's a big turnaround.
Bold, but good for him. Neil Gurley. This must be Neil's first race in a
first
while.
First race back from injury, yeah.
Coming back. That would be exciting to see. Cole Hocker, Josh, I already said him, Hobbs Kessler, Kip Sang, Cam Myers, Jake Wyman, yeah. Just all heavy hitters.
I mean, everybody in that field's fucking good, so it's going to be a crazy race.
Yeah. Do we, I don't, what do you even say about it? I think I said this on the run this morning. I don't know if either of you guys were in the group, but I was like, it's just weird to imagine, and then I guess this only just generally happens in Olympic finals. It's just weird to imagine that many fast people trying to run on the track at the same time.
What,
how does that
that's
play
what
out?
I was thinking, but then, yeah, the Olympic final, it somehow works. Yeah.
I'm gonna have my two cents here. You know how they're doing that Netflix sprinting documentary? This would be great for the documentary because everyone in the fucking mid-distance, particularly in 1500 mile, they always turn up. They're always racing each other. Every fucking diamond lead they get, there'll always be a big hitter, a big one. Oslo was last year. This year it's pre. Sprinting, they never race each other. There's always freaking jumping around. Like, this is like the best thing about our event is that everyone turns up. Everyone's not afraid to just like, either I'm going to fucking crush it or I'm going to get shit on. Like, yeah. I love that about the event. So like, it's just, I wish it was being covered more.
And
which
this
it
one's
is. It's been covered a lot.
And this one's been hyped up for so long.
It
as
has
well.
Been
like,
hyped
everyone's
up for
known
a lot.
That
yeah.
it was going to be like this.
Yeah.
Which is awesome to have it like that. Like the... everything, the previews going into it. Josh Kerr's been posting his same old Instagrams.
His thirst traps.
His thirst traps with, you know, like I hate to say it, but sometimes I find these captions, like sometimes they hit me at the right moment. Like I'm like, you know, I kind of needed to hear that today. Thank you.
Should comment that next time. Yeah.
The pictures are interesting, but the captions, you know, they go pretty well. I don't know. Do you guys, what's the race plan?
I know what Jordy's race plan is.
That's the thing. Like, do you, I guess you need
I
to find
know.
Out what the pacing is.
No, the pace. Well, I spoke to the pacer in Los Angeles.
Well,
but
my race plan was just sit on
all. But he's pacing it. He is pacing it.
Abe Alvarado apparently.
Yeah, he's pacing it.
But there were some rumors. Like he incorrectly, I think, said that he was trying to take it through a K in 217.
No way.
Yeah, no. That's the thing. Everyone was like, "Are you serious? Like, where did you hear that from?" And then Haas is like, no, that's not true.
Race plan, sit on Ollie.
No. My race plan is to sit on Yard, so. And Mario is sitting on George, so.
So it's a circle.
The circle. But I think for me,
I can't sit on Ollie because Ollie is going to sprint the first 100 meters so fast.
No, but then he's going
to I'm not afraid to say my race plan. I'm making sure I'm aware of Jake Wyman. I think Jake Wyman's going to be dangerous. I'm watching him. Obviously, Josh and fucking Jakob are always going to be watched, but I'm watching Jake.
My race plan is to cut the last corner and take the water barrier.
Sneaky little jump.
And you can do that because you're world champ.
Yeah.
You only get to do it once.
Me and Germa are allowed to do the water jump instead of running around.
Yeah.
Okay, is that actually... that's surely slower still. It's got to be slow.
It's got to be slow. Yeah.
I'm trying to do the quick math. I'm like, no, you still have to jump over a water barrier.
Like, it's less than 200 meters, but it's definitely still slower.
Yeah, maybe even it out.
You should go for it. Do you guys think...
It'll be women's height, though, because there's only a women's steeple.
Oh, okay. That could
help.
Easier for you. Do you think that Jakob just gets right back into just going right behind the pacer? I'm just saying...
I don't know. Wait, Stewie? No, Stewie's not running.
Stewie's not running.
His like slow takeoff, I think, will be even more gradual than normal because I think he's going to be really careful.
It's a lot of good people to go around.
I think he's going to take a full lap to get to the front instead of his normal like two. Wait, no, it's a mile. So I think he's going to do it right after at like 400 meters.
That's
normally, he does
prediction.
It at like 250. I feel like I think he's going to take a little bit longer to get to the front because he won't want to. I don't know. He talks about his whole spiking lactate shit. He'll be even more like weary just because he hasn't raced.
Is that actually why he doesn't go out hard?
I think I don't know.
He doesn't want to, to spike more. He wants it to progress appropriately and not spike too early. Interesting. And he has to deal with it.
Interesting.
I don't really know.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm just very interested to see. Like, it's gonna be one of those races where you'll have to watch it back like 10 times and just like focus on like each individual, because every single individual going into this race will have like such a good storyline, and through the race it's going to be just so interesting to see. Yeah, Jaco, I'm like, man, he hasn't raced in,
there's no chance so he long. Wins if it's a 352 race, so like he's not going to let it just like,
well, I hope he doesn't, because I need to run to 350. So yeah. If I can run to 350 and still win, then I'm happy.
Yeah.
If I run 350 and win, I don't care. Actually, I'll be happy.
Do you really think there's no chance Jakob wins in a 352 race?
Yeah, no chance. With Whiteman running 144.
Well, I said 352. No,
352, sorry.
I think I don't know. Chance.
No chance. I think no chance. Dude, Whiteman, no. Nah. I'm
not
I'm talking about him a
you
lot.
Think, who do you think has a better kick in that race? Kerr or Whiteman?
Whiteman.
You think 100% Whiteman's Whiteman. Outkicking both of those two?
Yeah. I think Jarrod as well is very dangerous.
And then George is out kicking all of them.
And George as well. George like, Jakob's going to be thinking...
A 352 race would be so crazy to watch.
Jakob's going to be dissecting and thinking, how do I minimize risk? Okay, well, I know there's one guy that can run with me for most of the race, Jarrod. I know if I run...
And Josh Cope.
Under three... If he's probably thinking, if I run under 347, he could probably get rid of most of the field. That's probably what he's thinking. So he's probably going to be running like 345, 346. And he's got to make sure that he's ready for a big close, even if it's that type of race. Now, I think everybody in that field honestly could run 346, 345. So he's probably thinking, well, they might think that, but they're actually going to be able to do it. So he's going to try and push that.
So do we think Jakob's going to win or not win?
I love Jingi. I don't want him to win. I want someone else to win.
Yeah, I'd love to see someone
I'd love to
beat
see
him.
Anybody else win. I also don't want Josh to win.
I'd love to see someone new. Yeah. Anyone else.
I'd love
to see. I do love surprises.
Just to put someone else in the conversation.
If Hobbs won, if I won, if George won, if anybody but Josh, Jingi, I would be happy with.
I feel like when it's like a 345 race, like something crazy, and you got to feel like this, like the people who you will expect to run pretty fast will probably run pretty fast, but then often there's some people who you don't, there's at least like one person who you don't like expect to run that fast that pops off on that day and runs
crazy,
crazy fast. So
do you think, I wonder who's, can you bet on this? I wonder who's the favorite.
Probably Josh.
You think it's Josh or
Jingi? Josh is in
force. I would say Josh should be the favorite.
Jakob, I don't know.
Josh beat Jakob the last race.
He did, that's true.
And Josh also won the 3K at Worlds, and Jakob's been dealing with injuries. So yeah, you'd put that
he beat Jarrod at Worlds, and he beat Jingi the last time.
But also
they
I
raced.
Think this is Jarrod's best type of race as well. I think Jarrod is stronger in this race than he is
in
like that 3K, for example. So and he's just been Jarrod's been like training, like
as consistent as ever.
Yeah. So fuck, it's going to be a good race. I don't know. What more is there to say about it? I'm just excited to watch it go down, see what the pacing is, see what form Jakob brings, and if he just goes for it, which, yeah, he probably will. But I don't know. I'm still interested. Has there – not that I'm saying, like, yeah, he would outkick everyone, because, like, I don't think he would. I think those other guys are way more proven than him. Has there ever been a race where he's actually, like a good race where he's let it go to a kick?
World semi-final, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
He was in like...
He did look pretty good in that one.
He was in like 10th with 250 to go.
Yeah,
maybe.
You're right. I forgot about that.
And then he ran around everyone. It was kind of... It was actually pretty cool.
And then in the final, he just went back to his same old tactic. Yeah. Because I'd be interested if he actually is considering doing that in a final or in a bigger race. Just sitting back and trusting his kick more. Because it seems like the last 2 years, the other way hasn't quite worked.
But I think he's just thinking... I'll just get even stronger. I'll just get even fitter.
Actually, he doesn't even think that because both those years he has excuses.
Oh, he's been sick both years.
So he doesn't actually think
actually, all
he did
he thinks
anything
is
wrong.
Not sick, not injured.
He said if he's healthy and he's not, if he's happy, healthy and fit, then it's a walk in the park for Paris.
Yeah, he did say that just a week or two ago. Shit. Right,
we just got to add to the storyline. That's what we got to do. If it's just Josh and Jingi in the last 20 meters, like, that doesn't add to the storyline.
Yeah.
We need to shake it up.
Oh, I'm excited to see you boys at it, see how it plays out in Yeah, I guess the biggest race of the year so far. Well, not Worlds, but...
You know, it's my last week being a miler, so I got to make the most of it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
It's my first week being a miler. No, I guess I ran Penn, so it's my second.
That was not that long ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Just getting back into it. But yeah, is there anything else we need to cover? I feel like we've had some really nice track talk today. Lots of good track talk. I love it.
I think that's a pretty good wrap up.
Yeah.
That time of year. Well, with that, best of luck to you guys going out to Preet. And then we'll be talking about next week, but spoiler alert, these guys are not coming home from Preet. They're continuing on, traveling on to further adventures. So
we show goes on.
So much more to talk about. But thank you very much, everyone, for listening to episode 138 of the Coffee Club podcast. And we look forward to seeing you all again next week. Bye-bye.